And also, I just wanted to say thank you. This food is one small litty bitty way to say we are so grateful for y'all pouring into the lives of the people that the Lord has sent our way. And we, as elders, we could not do this without you. Like, we'd be a church of like 20 if we each had somebody we could pour into. And we're super grateful for y'all's partnership in the gospel and the way y'all are pouring the word and your lives into the people that God sends. So I just wanted to say thank you. And I wanted y'all to know that we want you to feel a lot of freedom. And partly, y'all keep hearing about a church plant. And I want to reiterate, I want each one of you to ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to go be a part of that? And I don't want you to think that anybody's going to feel anything other than rejoicing if you say, hey, take my name off of this sheet because I'm going over there to start a new work. We're going to rejoice with you and want to encourage y'all to ask the Lord. And if you feel that you want to move your group that's happening here on Sunday mornings and you're feeling called to move that into your living room and make it a home group, you have freedom to do that too, and it's not too late for that either. I just want to reiterate, we all have maximum freedom to obey the Lord, and we support that. If you would please turn to, everybody get one of these bookmarks and or share with your neighbor, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:8. And what I want to do is a quick little workshop, and using these inductive Bible study methods on this bookmark is a way, not the way, but it's a way, and maybe gives you some options to try something new. Maybe there's one of these questions on here that you're like, I want to incorporate that. Maybe you want to do the whole thing. And I just want us to walk through it and do a quick little Bible study together as if we're doing our own small group. And then afterwards, I want to give you a couple of tips and pull back the curtain and tell you what I did. And then hopefully I can do all that fairly quick because I want to open up the floor and let y'all ask questions and hear what the Lord has done in y'all's groups this past year. So,
where did you say?
1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to put, sorry, you don't even have to pull that up because, well, here we go. There it is. Okay, so I've got it on the screen here. So if you'll notice on your bookmark here, first, I'm going to do this first one real quick. Lord, will you please speak to us through your word? We're listening. Amen. All right. And observation is step one. So first of all, I need a volunteer to read this verse loud and proud, and I need the rest of y'all to tell me what jumps out at you, because that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we won't hear everything that the Lord has to say to us unless you listen to what sticks out to you and go, I think the Holy Spirit made this stick out to me. This is what stuck out to me. And we don't hear all of it unless we speak up. So, can somebody read this as we listen to the Lord? Do it.
1 Thessalonians 2:8. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us.
Awesome. What sticks out to you?
What's the question?
What sticks out to you? Oh, I skipped a step. Let me just give you real quick context. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Thessalonica to defend why he does what he does, because people had come in and attacked his character and questioned his motives for why he does discipleship the way he does and why he spent time with them, why he was doing this church thing. And so he's defending why he does what he does and why, therefore, they should still listen to it and why it's important. So there's the real quick context. Now, what sticks out to you?
So it's their affection that's driving
it. It's their affection. Okay. It's his or Paul and his homies' affection for the Thessalonians that is their motivating reason for doing what they do. That's right. Anything else stick out to you?
It's relational.
It's relational. Yeah. What else? Yes, Jennings.
I'm sharing not just the gospel of God, so it's not just telling people about it, but it's also, at least when I first read it or hear it, it's almost, you're sharing your testimony as well, right? Like you're sharing your own self.
Ah, so you're taking sharing your own selves, or other translations share your lives, as you're still talking, but you're talking the gospel and the testimony of what God has done in your life.
Or right. Even sharing, like, opening up your doors to post and right? Like sharing your life is like...
Sharing your... Yeah.
That's not just like...
Opening the door to your life and literally your home. Mm-hmm. So it's life lived together. Yeah.
It also sounds to me like, bouncing off of his idea, is not only the gospel of God, but the gospel of our own self, our own goodness.
Uh-huh. So not only the gospel generally, but... The gospel, the good news, how the Lord has saved me, and sharing that. Yes. What else?
I think it's a little crazy to see the words not only the gospel, but also something else, you know?
That's so good. Did y'all hear that? Sorry.
Yeah, it makes me a little uncomfy at first, but then I'm like, okay, that just builds up how good of a gift it is to share yourself with somebody.
Yes.
So.
Because it's like, what he said, it's weird to see not only the gospel, as if the gospel were not enough.
Right.
And that makes you feel a little uncomfy. Yeah. So he's not saying the gospel isn't enough, but he is saying this is how we do what we do, the way we share the news and our bodies, our lives. Yeah. Yes, David.
Jumps a little out of the context. The verse before, it begins with so. So what came before that? And
great
it's interesting
question.
That it says that as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. But that's the depth of the feeling that he has for that.
Yeah. Okay. Do y'all see what David just did there? He used that word so and realized, and you might see that on the bookmark there, that under comparison, because after we just look at what sticks out to you, what's funny is that some of these are unnecessary because the Spirit is just going to put this stuff on our hearts anyway, but there's sometimes you might miss something until you look at these specifics. Like, a comparison key word is just or like or as or so. So we've got so right there. So then we have to go, okay, what's he doing there? So is a comparison word. And what we have is the other side of the comparison. But what is he comparing it to? That's the question David was asking, right? And what came before it was, he's saying, talking about the loving affection of a nursing mother with her own children. So wrap your mind around how a mother cares for her children and that heart of a mother. And then he says, so, that means likewise, comparatively, that's how we feel about you. Like, therefore, being affectionately desired, that's a powerful comparison, right? All right, I'm going to keep going down the deal here. Let's say, look at that number two under observation, keywords, contrast words like but or yet or or. Do y'all see any of those in there? Any see any contrast words? What do you see? But also, again, this is just sort of the mechanics behind what the Holy Spirit does intuitively, especially for you all who are mature believers who have been in the Word for a while. So sometimes these are super helpful for especially people just starting out interacting with the Word. How do you key in and dig deeper? But what the Spirit did to you intuitively is pointed out that word, but. That's a contrast. Again, just like the comparison word, you've got this linking word in the middle, and then you've got two sides. So he's contrasting the gospel only with lives. So how would you talk about how those two sides are different?
Say that one more time.
How would you talk about the way those two sides are different? The sharing... sharing the gospel versus sharing ourselves.
I think he's talking about not only the gospel as in like I've compartmentalized my life, but all of there's a more overarching thing of from my sharing. It's not just this one thing.
Yeah.
So it's a comparison of the part to the whole.
Yeah.
Kind of from them.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, so you're saying the whole is the whole self. Gospel is one part, right? And he's saying it's all. I share all of my life and self. Yeah. Anybody else?
Well, and also, I mean, the gospel is not my testimony is the gospel. Like, the gospel is the fact of the personal work of Jesus Christ.
The gospel is the fact.
My life is my application and implementation and relationship to that.
Yes.
I want to share all of the good news and the impact.
That's right. The good news and the impact. The good news and the outworkings of that in a life lived out. Yeah. Another way to say that would be like, this is me giving you a lesson, and this is me giving you my whole life. This might be perhaps an oversimplification, but it's Paul saying, when I came to you, you got more than just my Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. You got all of me. You got my living room. You got my daily rhythms. We spent life together. You could argue for me to tell you the gospel. Like, there's a lot of hit and run evangelists out there. Do you know what I mean? You come in and just like, hey, you don't know me, but bam, with the gospel, and then see you later, and I don't even know your name. Sometimes we can do that in obedience to the Lord, but sometimes we can do that in selfishness, there's other negative words, but you get the point, that we can then check it off the list and say, I've done my Christian duty. And he's saying, no, I gave the message and I opened up the door to my whole life. Okay. And then look at that next bullet under keywords, these causal words. Do you see any of those in this verse? The for, or the therefore, or the because? Do you see any of those? Where do you see it? Where do you see it, Mike?
Because you had become very dear to us.
So because is answering the question why. What? So first of all, they shared. What did they share? Two things: the gospel and their lives. Now you ask the question because of the word because. Why? Why did they share their whole selves? Why did they do it? How would you say it? Because they're very dear to us. Now,
interesting enough, on there, I read it, you had become very dear to us, which indicates to me the passage of time.
It's not like
we woke up and they were very dear to us, but like it's been months or years or weeks or whatever in order for them to become very dear to us.
In case you didn't hear that in the back, there's time implied here. You had become very dear to us, that this idea of giving your whole self, it takes time. Yeah. And then look at this next one, repetition. Repetition of words. We don't necessarily, I don't know, see any, well, you is repeated, but what about ideas? Do you see any repeated ideas in this verse?
Affectionate is dear.
Yes.
It starts and finishes both with that same.
Yeah, you've got bookends there that are basically saying, we love you so much. I love you so much that I shared my whole life with you because I love you so much. So cool. Alright, now, then you go to step two, interpretation. What does this tell you about the Lord or how He works, humans and how we work, Satan and how He works, the world and how it works? And this is, I love the interpretation step because this is where we're kind of just worshiping. Where we say, oh man, God always blank. And you're just lifting Him up, telling these good, timeless truths about who God is. So, if you look at this verse, does it tell us anything about God and how He works?
I may be using other scripture to complete this thought, but Jesus not only shared the gospel and the fact that He saved us from our sins and set us free, but He also gives us Himself. We have Him.
Did everybody hear that?
In every moment for all eternity. So I just see God there.
You see God there. You see Jesus there in that He didn't just... Man, I mean... Yeah. He sent a message and did it through prophets. And then He showed up in the flesh. Like, the good news
showed up in the flesh. The message is good news, and he is the good news embodied. Yeah. So yeah, if you were to turn this into a timeless truth about the Lord that you say, you would say something like, well, this is what Jesus did. Or Jesus didn't just give us a message. He gave himself, you know. Anything else? It tells you about the Lord and his character and nature. Yes, Jennings?
I think on that thread, that not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, and it's in a way of like it's not just that we read the gospel and it's like, okay, what a great word, right? You don't just read the words, we have to talk the talk and walk the walk as well, right?
That's
so
right.
It's like, and again, going back to the kind of truth, right? It's not that once we read and understand the gospel, then we're good. It's not. There's no like, I have arrived, not that I have understood this.
Yes.
Right, it's a continual. God is going to continue to work through your life,
yeah.
Right? And it's through that work that He's doing in your life that you're then able to pour it into others, right? And giving your own selves, giving your life, and opening your lives up to others.
Yes, awesome. Yeah, Dakota.
It has the gospel. God, what gospel means? Good news.
Yeah. Yeah, the good news. Anybody else? And this isn't right on the surface, but if you look at what does it tell us about humans and how we work, there's another step or two in here, but one thing. It's emphasizing not only sharing the message, but also our lives. And I can't help but my mind goes to, we tend to give the bare minimum if we can get away with it. Right? Is that just me? And we see here Paul doing the opposite and saying, this is... And we see... Yeah. Anything else on the interpretation? Any sort of timeless truths that come out of this? Yes.
Our own souls. Which is, to me, is deeper, and it comes from the letter, comes from the Greek word psyche.
Uh-huh.
So it seems deeper than our lives. I mean, would you give someone your own soul?
Wow. Not really holding anything back, is it?
Right.
Woo. Yes, Mike.
On the context of that next question, pick up on something that you said. That's so important, because if you just take this verse, it sounds like an apologetic for relational divinity.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at the context, Paul went into Thessalonica and witnessed to people he did not know. The people who responded, they're the ones he's writing to.
Uh-huh.
The ones he was discipling. They appointed leaders. He's writing back to them. And so it's a discipleship process, a leadership development process, that is the context of this verse, and it's not about relational evangelism. It's about a loving process where you take people who respond, however you share the gospel with them, and what do you do then? You lovingly disciple them and give them your full life.
So he's saying it's broader than discipleship. It's how you relate to everyone. Is that the...
It's, no? This is a discipleship context, not an evangelism context.
Oh, discipleship, not evangelism.
Yeah, and so if you just look at this verse, it sounds like a relational evangelism.
I see.
Context is he's writing to people he shared the gospel with that he did not know. Because he just moved and came into town. He was an itinerant missionary.
Gotcha.
that. And so when you look at the context, it's like, oh, that's a much different application of this verse than if you just take the verse.
That doesn't mean it's not right. Right.
It's just that that's only, that's not the really, I think, the purpose of this verse.
Yeah.
Because it is discipleship. It's leadership development. You've got to give people your whole life, especially as you develop leaders, because it's as much talk as it is. And that's the thing.
Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? Steve, there's something right on the tip of your tongue.
What I was going to say, we have college students and a lot of the Bible studies we did in, except Thursday morning ones. And it's so unique. We're trying to do this intergenerational thing here. And a lot of times the college students will look at the instructor and think, oh man, that halo is over his head. That's been there all his life. It's kind of like what Jared was saying this morning. It's like, no, it hasn't. And then when you relate back to them with that, with, hey, that hasn't always been so, it opens up. Somebody said to me one time, I said, you sure don't mind throwing yourself under the bus?
Yeah.
I said, I really don't, because the application is for what it does. It opens up rapport, it opens up lines of communication where you can, they realize, that, hey, you know, I want to be helping. When I was at your age, I wasn't doing anything to do it. We got a great group of Bible college students here. My goodness, they know their Bible.
Yeah. So way ahead of where I was at their age.
Yeah, for sure. You make yourself vulnerable by opening up like, hey, well, I didn't always have this halo. There. For the larger picture, it's that rapport, that communication that you have, what you're trying to disseminate to them.
That's a crucial part of sharing your whole self with them, is like, not the polished version, but just like, this is me, and Jesus is the hero of my story, you know? Yeah. Okay. That number two, the context. And yeah, part of the context is it starts with the mother. And then a little further down in the passage, it talks about, we loved you like a father, exhorted you like a father. And I love those two together, because it's like the nurturing mother that makes the nest and is caring for you and everything. And then eventually the father that goes, like, gets them out of the nest and says, you can do it. Come on, the deploying. And he said, this is how I loved y'all. Like, this love. Which brings me back to what you were saying, Estella. Like, if we're looking at this and say, okay, where do we see the heart of God here? Like, just one real simple truth here is that God loves you, you know, so much. And this is, I mean, think of John 3:16. Like, why did he send Jesus? He loved us, you know. How crazy is that? So good. Or you could even go more to the core of who God is and say, God is love. That's why he loves. You know?
I was literally thinking the exact same thing when you said
it's that. Almost like we got the same spirit, buddy.
Like, but the truth is God is love. And so when we act out this verse and we live with others and we disciple, we are being the image of God.
That's right.
We are acting out exactly how he created us to be.
Yes.
We are doing this kind of love.
Amen.
The bigger steps are just like, oh, hey, look, you know, or hey, here's my nice borrow. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It goes also back to that whole Acts 2, is that right?
Yeah.
Acts 2?
Yeah.
It's back in Acts 2 where they had everything, they had no need. We look at that and we go, oh, they had no need because they were sharing everything. No, they had literal no need. Mm-hmm. That was about as close as you can get to, like, what God has called us to do.
Wow.
As you can. And then, through today's world, one of the things that I was thinking about, because this is really interesting to say and we have to be careful with it, is that in today's world, if we're going to model this and do this, when the world goes, hey, how you been? Oh, busy. That word busy, in my opinion, is from Satan. And because what busy does is busy tells Jesse. Busy tells Jesse, I don't have time.
I got no time for you.
And Jennings calls me, hey, what you doing? I'm busy. That tells Jennings, I don't have time for you.
Stepping on my toes from way over there. Come on. That's good. Okay, so then the context, are there any cross references? Those are good to hunt down and bring in. And then also, after your own wrestling, then check study notes and commentaries. There's a real good free one on netbible.org. So, don't go to the commentaries too quick. When you're studying the word for your lesson, and you're like, man, what does that mean? Man, let me see what this old dead guy says. Don't do that. Like, don't let them have all the fun. You get to talk to the Lord. You get to wrestle with the Lord. And so dig in, wrestle, use the commentary as a supplement, not a replacement for wrestling with the Lord. And also ask one another in the community of the Spirit. So, all right, now application. Is there a command to obey, either stated or implied? What do you think? Anybody?
Share the gospel.
Share the gospel. And?
Yourself.
Yeah. Share not only the gospel would be another way to say that. Yeah.
I also like where it says we were ready. They're girded and they're ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're ready. Yeah.
Be ready at all times.
There's the NASB says delighted. We were delighted to share with you these things. Which again, another application here would be something like check your motives. Like, why are you doing this? You know, do you love these people or are you checking a box? You know, are you trying to impress the Lord or others by your service? Or is this an outflow of love of God and for others?
I think another application or thing to follow is come near to us and vice versa, the brothers who come near to us and actually make that initial, like make that relationship work.
Yeah. So one implication is just to cultivate real relationships, loving relationships.
And I think like that first line up there, right? It's not that they were desiring to be ready to share. It's just if you just take that by itself, right? Being affectionately desirous of you, right? So it's like kind of not getting either wrapped up in or busyness with work and family and things like that, or not being selfish of like whatever free time I do have, I want to spend that doing stuff I like to do.
Yeah.
Right? Is like actually being not just desirous, but affectionately desirous of others, right? Like wanting to reach out to those and have those relationships. That, I mean, if everyone digs deep down inside, folks in this room, but just throughout the world, want to be known by other people, right? Not just by their spouse, but like having those deep relationships with others, but we get wrapped up in the busyness or we get wrapped up in our other stuff. So it's like having that heart and desire to go after others, to chase those deep relationships, which is going to take time, right? And you don't just like, oh, and now we're great friends.
Right. Right.
Like it takes that investment of time. So that's, again, not just are we sharing the gospel in our lives, but in sharing our lives, it's we're doing that from a desirous standpoint of just being in community with one another.
Yes. Yes, David.
Yeah, to follow up on that thought, we're told in the Gospel of John that we're to love as Jesus loved. It's an implied command. And what a high bar when you think of how Jesus loved others. That's what we're called to do, how we're called to love.
Amen. Amen. Okay, now that second one, what lie or lies may prevent us from obeying these commands that we just talked about? What lie might we believe that prevents us from doing this?
Too busy.
Yeah, you just said it, right? I'm too busy. I ain't got time for that. Anything else?
Can I share a brief testimony?
Sure.
So last year I was here as a plus one. I was just getting a free meal because Joanna was doing this.
Attaboy.
Yeah. And God said, I was not going to lead a class last year. I was too busy. Exactly. And I didn't have the bandwidth. I didn't whatever. And I don't know who I told, but I was like, dang it. Leading the men's class. And what God has done over the last 12 months is just God. So if anybody's in here as a plus one, say yes, because God will multiply your bandwidth.
Yeah.
He will multiply your, I don't have time to give all of myself.
Yeah.
God will figure it out.
Yeah. That's so. The beauty of the commands of Jesus come with batteries included. Like, whatever he calls you to, he's already provided all the resources needed, whether it's time, energy, wisdom, you name it. It comes baked into the command that's enacted with faith, you know, a faithful response of obedience. Appreciate you sharing that, Alex.
I think also what was said earlier, like with the college ministry, it's like sharing not only the gospel but sharing our lives. It's like, man, I'm just too messy. Like if you really knew who I was outside of Sunday morning type of thing.
Yeah.
Or like on a Wednesday afternoon after work. I think that's another thing. I think at least for a lot of times, I feel like
you said you're too messy. What did you say?
Yeah, like. That's a
your life is too messy. Yeah, the lie is.
Just like, or I got too much sin I'm trying to deal
like
with.
Like, I can't let people into that kind of thing.
Like, well, then they're going to judge me. Or like, you know what I mean? Well, how can I really be the face of Jesus and love like Jesus is? I'm dealing with all this other mess.
Yeah. Yeah. What might be the truth to combat that lie?
Well, you look at Paul. Paul was AKA Saul.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he held the cloak of Stephen while he was being stoned to death.
Uh-huh.
And here he is, you know, we love you.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's messy. So what? Like, yeah, you're a new creation.
Jesus.
Yeah. And maybe the truth to that lie, Alex, of busyness is the Lord provides. Yeah. So that's a fun one, is to talk about lies and then let the people in your group say, what's the truth to combat that lie, and what keeps us from believing that? That's some fun conversation. Okay, how does this point to Jesus? Y'all already went there. But remember with Paul, if you end a lesson on Paul saying, guys, let's be like Paul, you're leaving the best part on the table. Like, a good key for sort of unlocking all of Paul's stuff is where he said, follow me as I follow who?
Christ.
So why would you stop with that guy when you can back up? Like, why does Paul do this? He does this because this is what Jesus does. That Jesus shared a message and became the message in the flesh and was the good news. Gave him his whole self. So this is, Paul knows no other way from looking at Jesus, you know. So, yes. And then, what are you struggling with? This can be a point where in your small group, you may not do this every week, but you could say, all right, we got 5 minutes left. Anybody want to be bold and share something you're struggling with? And you can do the same exercise of, okay, if you're struggling with that, what lie are you believing? And then ask somebody else, brothers and sisters, can you give a truth to replace that lie? And you can get down into some stuff and let the Lord tear down some strongholds whenever we give a little bit of space, a little bit of time, flowing out of revelation that comes from the Word. Let Him show up, show who He is, and now hearts are raw. And then to say, all right, can we just be real here for a minute? Is anybody feeling moved by the Lord to share what's going on? I'm really tempted to do that right now, but I'm not gonna because we're running short. And then pray as a large group, or in groups of two or three. This can happen better in some contexts than others. On a Sunday morning, might be harder to split up in twos and threes, but in a home, why not? So something to consider. All right. Now, let me talk a little bit about what I just did there. Small group leader tips. First of all, set the mood. And this is like talking about hospitality. And I want y'all to know that Kristen had nothing to do with the plants on the tables right there. I did that. Does that make y'all feel warm and cozy? And so, anyway, that's a... for example, if you're Sunday school, I want to ask you, come in at bare minimum 5 minutes early. Make sure there's a circle of chairs in there and no one brought the trash on the floor. And then if you wanted to go next level, you show up a little bit more early and maybe bring a little Bluetooth speaker, have some music, maybe hang some string lights and just feel like this is your home and make them feel like they're coming in, that they feel love. They feel that you're affectionately desirous of them and they've become dear to you. So maybe feed them some fuego or something. No, but anyway, just want to encourage y'all to think about not just showing up on fumes and doing it, whether it's here or in your own home. That's another way of it, of demonstrating this kind of love. And then, let's see. Teach them to fish. So the thing that I love about this is anybody can do this. You can give this to people that don't know how to study the word and say, just go down the list. They can start to flex the muscles that maybe... And if you're doing this, you're not necessarily showing up with this big wealth of knowledge that only you have. It goes to what you were saying, Steve, of just being able to humbly say, they might ask a question, and one of the best things you can say is, I don't know. They go, oh, wow, maybe I can teach someday. Instead of thinking, well, there is some, this halo, I can't ever. So it's not only, not just giving them a fish, but teaching them. So the way that you lead, think about that. Am I equipping them with how to think about the text and interact with the text so that tomorrow morning by themselves, they don't need me or they don't need Dan. You know what I mean? Ask questions. This is not the time for you to preach a sermon, but to think about facilitating and asking questions, and specifically asking questions that are going to get their noses in the text. Like there's a specific way, not just to say, hey, what do y'all think about this? And then sometimes people will say, well, I remember a pastor so-and-so said about this verse, and then launch into a big thing. If you just leave it open, but instead say, from this text, what do you see repeated? You know, and make them go, well, I don't know. Let me get your... This is, again, you're teaching them how to fish. How it's all here. This is sufficient, you know. Save time for application. And this, the beauty of home groups is we get to do something that Dan can't do on Sunday mornings. And he's talked. We've talked about how application is risky as a pastor because. As a preacher, because you don't know. If I'm up here, I don't know what the Holy Spirit is saying to fit, and I could take a swing at it. But anyway, in home groups, in small groups, there's no guesswork. You're asking them. You get to spend time in the application to say, does anybody want to share what the Holy Spirit is saying to you? What are you struggling with this? Or when you think about, is there a command implied that he's impressing on your heart? What truth or what lie are you sensing from the Lord? So we get to press it into making real life changes in a way that we can't in a sermon. So take advantage of that. And then make time for prayer. Notice I said save time for application because usually that's going to be at the end. But make time doesn't have to just be, you can make time at the beginning. You could pray for 20 minutes before, which is crazy talk for a Bible church, but you could really believe that there's real work done in prayer. And you can pray at the beginning, you can pray at the end, but whatever you do, make time for prayer. And relationships. You have to yell it, but this is what it's all about. What is Faith Bible about? We're about exalting Jesus through the preaching of the word and through relational discipleship. And you guys, each one of you that's leading a group, the Lord has given you a flock that you get to not just give them a message, but you get to share your life with them and build relationships with them. So part of what that might look like is occasionally a Sunday school, you might say, hey, we're going to McAllister's after church. Would love for all of y'all to come. And McAllister's, it's easy to push some tables together. It's usually not a long line. There's no waiter, so you don't have to tip. It's beautiful. When you're thinking about group dynamics, that's an easy one. We're going to McAllister's already. Why don't you just come with us? So think about how easy ways to do these relationships. Or maybe I'm going to challenge my Sunday school teachers. Once a semester, hang out with your group outside of the four walls of the church, whether that's at Fuego or Freddy's or in your home. Maybe you watch a away game, an A&M game at your house Saturday night, whatever that is, to make room for those relationships.
Indeed, that's a great place to invite new people in that you meet on Sunday morning.
That's right.
There's a back door in your group.
Exactly. And then who's your Timothy or your Timothina? This is the Timothy principle that Paul says to Timothy, the things you've heard from me and the friends of many witnesses, and trust these to faithful men and women who will teach others also. I want y'all to always be thinking about discipling yourself out of a job. That's what one of my mentors a long time ago challenged me to always be discipling yourself out of a job. Raising up who is the person that you're pouring into, the Timothy, the one who is eager, hungry for the word, and reciprocates the relationship when you reach out and try to talk about Jesus and share your life, that they're reaching back, pour into that person. And then whenever your group is busting at the seams and it's time to multiply, you say, hey, Timothy, you're up. It's time. So be asking the Lord, who's my guy? Who's my girl? And that's it for that. Any questions? And then I have a few questions, four questions for you. But first I want to ask you, do y'all have any questions? Or thoughts? Concerns? Snide remarks?
Yes. The one thing I would just as a reminder, there's a difference between asking questions and asking thoughtfully, well thought out, prior, meaningful, open in there. It's not, what do you think?
Yes.
But really, your questions drive where you're really going to go and how the Holy Spirit is going to take you from there. When I start really getting smart and putting more effort into the questions I was going to ask prepared ahead of time, my group will just flourish much differently.
That's awesome. Thank you. All right, I'm going to put two of these up at a time so you can pick one to answer. How has the Lord been at work in your group? What has the Lord taught you as you lead a group? Anyone want to share?
It's kind of a practical thing, especially if you're just got a bunch of small kiddos. It's kind of like the setting today where it's like not letting the little stuff get to you, right? Where it's like you focus more on like making you keep it quiet and type of stuff versus like just allowing the Lord to work. And I'm just like a church every Sunday, and my kids can get kind of rowdy and stuff. It's like not worried about that. We're worried more about focusing on the questions, focusing on growing those relationships with folks, and not worrying less about other kids hitting each other in the face and stuff, which is important to prevent. But if that does happen, it's like, all right, let's pause real quick, handle this, and go right back.
I think for our group, how has the Lord been working through goes off of what he has said, and that was teaching us to, the three core people in our group each have 3+ kids. So when we all get together, there's like 15 kids. There's a lot of kids there, but it just teaches you that that's the future. Those kids that we're loving on and stuff like that, they're the future that we're getting to raise our love on. And so I think that's really what the Lord is working on. There's a lot of people that come to our group, see that, and say, oh, I've got to kind of move a little bit, which kind of leads into what the Lord taught me personally for our group, and that was just flexible. So our group didn't get to meet every month. Sometimes it was bi-monthly.
Yeah.
Just because we all have different things going on in our life, but it was, every time we got together, the Holy Spirit was at work and we all were. Which I think that's what matters more, is that what Mr. Fiddler said was targeted, direct, good questions you actually put thought into, which are driven from the Holy Spirit. Do that with your groups. Thought, put it in there, pray about it, pray over it, see where the Lord is at work, and just let him lead. Sometimes you're not going to be able to lead, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But when you do get together and there's 15 kids running around, be flexible.
Yeah.
Let them run. So,
flexible.
Because I know, even growing up, I remember my dad and stuff was in small groups. And it's like the friends I made through there, even the conversation you have with kids, what are they talking about? Those types of things. It's like, you're kind of raising the next generation. It may not be targeted at the kids, but kind of the example you set in that. Like, you want
life group or small group, whatever you want to call it, do you want that to be a period of, like, hey, the kids don't talk, like, you are not seen, not heard type of thing? Or do you want it to, even if you have some older kids that want to come and sit and listen, like, yeah, let them listen, because, like, that's all they're doing. You start to get exposed to these types of things and setting that example.
Yes, Mike.
Holy Spirit works in wild ways. Everybody's walking in with different burdens and challenges and hurts. And one of the questions we like to ask is, so what are you going to do this next week before we meet again? And some of the stuff, it's like you could never teach toward that application because it's so specific.
So personalized.
It's
yeah.
So personalized to that person. And the more we give the Holy Spirit room to work, the more we're going to see how he's working in ways that we cannot anticipate. Like one day we were doing this with Nehemiah, this one young lady said, I need to go and ask my father for forgiveness. I haven't talked to him in 4 years. Mm. How do you get that out of Nehemiah?
Yeah.
Only the Holy Spirit can get that out of Nehemiah.
I think going into the verse that we were talking about today, which kind of works really well with the youth of just sharing the gospel isn't enough. Like sharing your own self has to be a part of the deal. If it's a clinical, intellectual discussion about how amazing scripture is as this sacred text, it doesn't go anywhere. Until you get outside of that and go beyond that and get relational and personal. And I always tend to fall back on just let's talk about it and then break. We're good. We'll see you guys next week. It's very easy to fall into that. So that's one lesson I have to learn over and over again.
I had a early in youth training, somebody, I don't remember where I heard it first, but they don't care what you know unless they first know that you care. And that's pretty true. That's this verse, right? Isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I think the Lord has really driven home in my heart the last semester, and this is probably like a lot of folks here, having done small groups and leading part-time, full-time, you know, small group or whatever for 30 years.
I don't know if I ever remember a time where people were more confused and more distracted and more hurting than I have in the last few years. And I don't think that's unique to my group. And I don't think it's just a specific demographic, but with all of the post-COVID world that we're living in, the questions I hear from 50-year-olds now were ones that I never heard as a 40-year-old 10 years ago. We talk with those when we were in their 20s and 30s because we have 10 kids running around the house. But the level of pain, I think, that most of our people are walking through and disconnection, it's changed how I choose to interact and lead my group. I have to take the lead more often. I have to reach out more because those things are a little more, it's easier to pick up my phone and scroll Facebook than it is to interact with my small group. And so it requires Lori and I probably to be more intentionally engaging than we probably ever have. Unless it's just my group that's weird, but I don't think
Okay, I got one more. What's been difficult? Well, we've already done kind of what's worked well. So what's been difficult? Anybody want to share there?
Just not knowing who to expect in a given time, given Sunday.
It's essential for a change for the group coming to the call. It's not really like we'll have that same group.
Right.
That's a challenge.
And there might, it, part of it is just that's part of it, and sometimes the relationship building just takes time. But I would encourage you, sometimes the pursuit of relationship can move the needle on that, as far as if the person that's, if you're spending time with the people that may or may not show up on Sunday morning and you're hanging out Saturday night, it's pretty natural to say, am I going to see you in the morning or whatever? Or when they know that they're known, that might move the needle on that. And I know y'all are doing that, so don't grow weary in doing good. Right. Right.
It could happen. So that's what I think, again, cultivating that relationship. Just like, hey, cool, good seeing you Sunday, I'll see you next week. Right? It's like taking time to work through those types of things. Or just, I'm sure you guys on the basketball team, that elder team, do that. Hey, if we really feel like this person needs to meet with someone because they're really struggling with something, like, you're not going to solve all the world's problems and all your life's problems on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night type of thing.
Yeah.
It goes back to the Thessalonians passage, right? It's like you have to, and I'm sure I speak for most people, it's like it's just tough to make the time when you're dealing with kids, family, work, and stuff like that. But even just setting up a, hey, let's go grab lunch on this day, and like putting it on your calendar and then sticking to that. That's where a lot of that work is, like being consistently, put up worth the effort to work through those types of things. Because, again, there may be stuff that comes up on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, and it's like, ooh, that's a, again, not to shut people down, but it's like, hey, let's meet for coffee and then like talk through that. Because that's like a whole 3-hour discussion. We're struggling with X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
So something that's difficult, it's the same for all of us. It's the inconsistent nature of us and our people. But what I didn't do this last semester, and I think we got the fruit become of it, was something we did in last semester before last. And that is, on the front end, just add an intentional level of discussion with the group and ask the question, what kind of group would you rearrange your schedule for? And specifically what I'm asking for is, what do you need to get out of this group in order to keep coming?
That's a good question.
Whether it's because some people just want support. Some want, I need knowledge. I want to be taught. Some just want a place to fellowship. Some want a place to be loved.
Yeah.
And we're able to call that out on the front end. And because every semester, that group morphs into something a little different and a little unique. And we give the freedom for the Spirit not to just push my agenda, what is taught, but to let the Holy Spirit speak through on what, how do we minister to each other during this time?
Yeah.
And that helped. On the semester when we did that, we didn't have the drop-off. Last semester we didn't, and it took another time.
Quickly. Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Was that intentionality?
Good question. All right, go ahead.
One thing as far as what worked well, what didn't work well, not getting caught up on Wednesday nights, I tried not to get caught up on numbers. If it was just me and another guy, I was like, this was on purpose. This was an accident. It doesn't mean I'm doing a bad job. But
that's right.
But if it's a bunch of guys, praise God.
Yeah.
Why is it a bunch of guys? So just not... Don't grow weary in doing good, and it's not about who has the most numbers. It's about being obedient in that moment to what God has put in front of you.
Yeah.
And going deep with that person.
That's right. So sometimes those one-on-one or one-on-two is the most sweet, intimate conversation at the perfect time. and the Lord has it planned out perfectly. All right, last call. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I'd like just to share the elders' perspective. We're so appreciative of you guys coming alongside and working with us, because it not only makes our job easier, but knowing that you're the ones that we're going to be pouring in and being focused on what you're doing, because you're a vital part of our lives, and we want to make sure you know that. You need anything,
yeah.
Every elder on this board is ready to serve you in every capacity.
That's right.
It's not our work, it's Christ, and you're doing the part, your hands and feet, and your whatever part you're doing. So we want to make sure anything spiritual that you have, you come to us so we can be praying and be faithful to call on the Lord for your sake. You know, just like the affection, you know,
yeah.
We're here for you.
That's right.
The affection in your life, for you. And know that we love you.
That's right.
Because of what you're doing, but also what he's doing through you. Because we can't do this alone. But, I mean, I hit the ground running when I got saved, and I couldn't stop telling people about Jesus, because I found the greatest thing that ever happened in the world. Because Jesus died on the cross, and I was like, I can't stop telling people to know. I was locked up in the world system, and I didn't know how to get out. But then God led me to one guy that I saw life change, and I said, how can I not go share this? That's something they need. The other part is knowing that once you've presented the work, don't look for an outcome. God is the one who's going to bring the increase.
Yeah.
And it may be in your lifetime, it may not be. It may be when you get to heaven, you see all the work that God did through you. But don't be caught up, because the enemy goes, look, you ain't doing nothing, but you are.
Yeah.
When you open the Word of God, it's going to accomplish what God meant it for. So don't get caught up in numbers, or get caught up in is everything going okay? You know, like I said, what's working, what's not working? Well, hey, the Spirit is working through you. Knowing that, have the confidence that He who lives in you is accomplishing what He had purposed. Just like you said, you're talking in Nehemiah, and somebody's over here. I get that too. Dan's preaching, says, the same thing about that. Praise God. God was speaking in that moment. Because when the Word is starting to be presented, the Spirit is moving, and He goes right where the target is, and it may not be anything to do with that scripture. But God is doing the work, so don't be faithful, and in due season you'll reap. That's a promise. So stay faithful, be encouraged. And if you need someone, we're here to help back you up through prayer or whatever way you can. So we want to pour in your lives. And with the transition that's going on with the church, we don't know what's going to happen in the 3 weeks from now, but you know, God does. And what He's doing is preparing us to take on what He's given us to continue this work here at Faith Bible. So thank you for being faithful. Thank you for joining in. Because I'm excited what God's going to do this year. It's every movement, everything we do for Christ lasts for eternity. It's not just for the moment. So we think in that process that what can I do to affect eternity is present Christ being crucified. And when you do that, it just flows out of you the rest. It's just like the living water. You know, Jesus said, hey, if you come ask me, I'll give you living water. Man, it just flows. I don't know about you, but when I'm in one-on-one or I'm in a group sometime, man, it's just like the water just flows out, and I'm like, where'd that come from? You know? But the Spirit knew what needed to be said in those moments. And so, just be encouraged. If you need encouragement, call us. We'll be there for you. So I just want to make sure you're aware. We're here on your team, working alongside. And we want to intercede by prayer and supplication for making a request from God so that this is successful for His glory. I just want to thank you again for being a part of it.
All right. I'm praying, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for these friends, brothers, and sisters, and all the work that you've already done and all the work that you're going to do. We love you, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Amen.